The following is a presentation of Cruise Addicts.
Hi everyone, this is your host, John Cello. I'm currently aboard the Carnival Sunshine for a two-night sailing. Carnival Sunshine will be starting regular 5, 7, and 8-night cruises from Port Canaveral on April 19th. And if you didn't know, back in 2013, the Carnival Destiny was transformed into the Carnival Sunshine. This took 75 days and $155 million. This was the largest transformation ever done in the Carnival Cruise Line's history. In fact, the Carnival Sunshine is one of a kind. She has the biggest water park of any other Carnival ship, and is the only ship in the Carnival fleet to offer all of the Funship 2.0 elements. These include things like Guy's Burger Joint, the Red Frog Pub, the Havana Bar, and much more. So in this show, I'm going to be speaking with special guest Doug Parker of Cruise Radio. We will get to know about his life in radio and also get his take on the Carnival Sunshine. Travel writer Sherry Laskin of CruiseMaven.com will be stopping by, as well as getting some really big news from Carnival's very own Mark Tamas. So don't go anywhere. The show is just getting started. John Child, Cruise Addicts here with Mark Tamas, Senior Vice President of Guest Operations. Mark, could you tell us about today's big announcement?
Sure, John. We're really excited to announce Camp Ocean. So Camp Ocean is our new youth programming for the kids who are between the ages of 2 and 11. Within Camp Ocean, we have three really sub-programs. One is the Penguins, the other is the Stingrays, and the third is the Sharks, depending upon the age. So it's really about bringing this amazing marine nautical programming to different kids at different ages that's all age-appropriate.
So if I get this right, Camp Ocean is going to take over Camp Carnival fleet-wide?
That's right. So Camp Ocean is our new youth programming, and over the next year and a half, we'll roll out fleet-wide, both in the physical changes on the ships as well as the programming on the ships.
And what type of activities will be available? You mentioned 200?
Yeah, there's 200 new nautical marine-focused activities. So about 60% of the programming in any given day is going to be around this nautical theme. The other 40% is just going to be general fun for the kids.
You also mentioned Dr. Seuss at Sea. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Seuss at Sea rolled out on Carnival Splendor just last month and will be going fleet-wide over the next year. And Seuss at Sea is really bringing to life this amazing Dr. Seuss collection of books, not only for the kids, but for the parents on the ship who are just as excited to see it. There's three different programming elements. There's a character breakfast, the Green Eggs and Ham character breakfast that takes place with the characters, the Dr. Seuss characters, Cat in the Hat, the Thing One and Thing Two, as well as Sam I Am, bring to life this breakfast experience where you're actually eating food from the book, which is fun. Then we also have the parade and the story time, which is called Seussapalooza, where the guests gather together with the characters, parade throughout the ship, and end up in the main show lounge, where they have this amazing reading experience inside the Circus McGurkus tent, where we bring the story of Cat in the Hat to life.
Thanks for taking your time to speak to us today.
Oh, you're welcome, John. Thanks for being here.
And we're here with Sherry Laskin of CruiseMaven.com. Sherry, what is your favorite spot on board?
On the Carnival Sunshine, I think I like the taste bar. It's usually about food, and I think that's a great concept. Just have the little introduction of what all the little specialty restaurants have to offer. Last night, they had Nona's meatballs and these little crostinis with some lemon ricotta cheese and a little tomato on top and some arugula. And it's a really great way to find out what's cooking in the restaurants.
What are your overall thoughts of the Carnival Sunshine?
It's beautiful. I mean, I was on the Destiny a bazillion years ago, and it's really cool to see how you can transform a ship from, you know, a standard brand name that you've known into something new, which becomes the new brand name. So it's kind of fun. I really like it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, John.
I'm here with special guest Doug Parker of Cruise Radio, and he's also started a new podcast, The Weekend Travel Show. Both of them are now available on iHeart. Cruise Radio has been syndicated on Cruise Addicts for about 4 years now. We're just about to have our anniversary. And Doug, thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, man. 4 year anniversary. Looking forward to it. Flowers and everything, right?
Exactly. Did you get them?
I will, yeah.
Because we're currently aboard Carnival Sunshine. We're actually parked right here in Freeport, Bahamas. We're just about to go on a excursion. Doug, I'm so glad to have you here. So when was your first cruise? I mean, you've been on how many cruises now?
Oh, good gosh. 80-something, I think. My first cruise, it was a Carnival cruise. I think it was Carnival Sensation. I was still a teenager because I was still doing the Camp Carnival stuff. I can't give you an exact date, though. I'd have to look at my thing online.
obviously you have Cruise Radio, but some people actually might not know you're not just a podcaster. You actually have a career in radio. So when did you start in radio and how did you actually start?
How long do you have? So I graduated high school and went into college. I was going into flight school, actually, and I was at the Academy in Jacksonville. And I was just flying one day by myself. I had my private's license and I was working on my instrument rating. And I just was like, I don't want to fly anymore. It was very weird. I want to do radio because I think it was because I enjoyed talking to air traffic control with my headset all the time. Like, I just ask for weather updates or whatever just to key the mic and talk. So at that point, I landed, and it was kind of like serendipity, I guess, because that afternoon when I landed, I won a music CD from the local country station. And when I picked that CD up, I was like, hey, could I get a tour of the studio? And Matt, who was the jock on-air personality at the time, was like, yeah, sure. So he gave me a CD, or, you know, my CD, and I took a little tour of the studio. He's like, you're really into this. Would you ever be interested in doing this part-time or full-time or part-time? I'm like, well, I'm in flight school right now. I'm not sure. He's like, well, I'm going to give you our boss's number and call our boss. So I called the boss Monday morning, said, Matt told me to call you. And she was like, yeah, I was expecting your call. When can you start? And I'm like, oh, crap, I know nothing about being on air. But long story short, I started running a syndicated overnight program out of Los Angeles. So just pushing buttons, that led to me doing little 10-second weather updates and then overnight news. You know, I kind of very slowly started digging my heels into radio. Morning show producer, and then different air slots, afternoon drive throughout my career, overnights up in Nashville, just different radio elements. And then it ended in Jacksonville back in 2010 when they did the budget cut. So I've been in radio, yeah. I'm still doing it part-time at the country station in Jacksonville. So I've been in radio for 14 years now. April was 14 years.
And you are a big country fan.
Yeah.
And so what's your favorite country star? And, you know, what do you admire so much about country music? Because I know you do.
Yeah. So I think just country is just how real it is. You can relate to it. You could actually drive down the road. And I'm not saying there's any other genre that sucks or whatever. But I'm just saying with country music, you could drive down the road and say, you know what? This Kenny Chesney song, this Tim McGraw song, this relates to what I'm going through right now. And, you know, you can get goosebumps or whatever. So I think that's what I like about country. And the fact that just being in radio and having the pleasure to meet all these artists over the past few years, they're just so real. You know, they're not fake. They really want to engage with you. Like last weekend, I saw Dierks Bentley down in St. Augustine. And he was really just wanted to have a conversation. And when I walked away from him, now granted, there's 50 people in the meet and greet line. When I walked away with him, he put his hand on my shoulder and says, Doug, it was nice talking to you. Like that kind of stuff. I think it says a lot.
Yeah. Now, what other stars have you met and also left a big impression on you?
Tim McGraw was real engaging. I had the opportunity to have dinner with him back in 2012 in Tampa, the top of the Hyatt. It was just like this nice Italian restaurant up there. And it was like just like eight of us, I think. And it was really, he was so engaged, you know. Garth Brooks has left an impression on me. When I was a teenager, I was wanting to not be a singer, but an entertainer, which is funny because when I was a teenager, I didn't want to be in radio. But radio is really theater of the mind, so it's all entertainment. It's you're basically painting a picture for your audience. And so it's kind of funny how things have come full circle for me.
So you worked in radio and entertainment. How did you actually start Cruise Radio?
So Cruise Radio, actually, it didn't start as a podcast. It started as an actual radio show on Sunday mornings at 7:30, which no one listens to. It's like the worst rated time slot ever in radio. But I'm like, whatever. I wasn't trying to make money. I was doing it because I love cruising. My dad is a retired ship captain. And so I would always ride a river pilot. I rode ships up and down the river with my dad. And when he was an actual captain at sea, I would go to like from Jax to San Juan or Jax to Grand Turk. I remember as a kid, young kid, like 5 years old before school, just doing all these trips with him. So I think maritime and the ocean is in my blood. So I just decided, you know what? I had no clue what a podcast was. I just knew I loved cruising and I wanted to do some kind of travel show. Now, I didn't know who Rick Steves was. I didn't know who Peter Greenberg was, Rudy Max, all those people that do radio shows. I didn't know. I was in my own country world, you know. So September of 09, I was on a cruise, a bachelor cruise, actually, and I had a little too much tequila. And I just was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to sketch this down. So, and you know, some of the best things happen when you're whatever, in a creative mind state, and I wrote down a show clock of how I wanted Cruise Radio to be. And then the next week I got back to Jacksonville, implemented it, and that was like September 2nd of 2009, and we're going on 5 years this year. So just being creative and too much tequila, and it's here we are.
You know, you mentioned your dad being a ship's captain, which is amazing. Did he ever like take your son to work day and y'all get on a ship and drive it out of Jacksonville, like a cruise ship?
I wouldn't say take your son to work day. In fact, it was quite the opposite, because there was a lot of, you know, liability with people. If I fell off a ship, my dad would probably be out of a job, you know, because when you're a river pilot, you're climbing down these ship ladders off the side. And here I am, 7, 8, 9 years old, and you're climbing down a 100-foot rope ladder. Or the new container ships like Sealand, they had a lift, an elevator lift, so you actually get into a harness and it would lift you down to the pilot boat or tugboat. So, wow. But it was still like being that young, there was no take your son to work day. It was, we hope the captain's cool, or we hope the tugboat captain's cool and won't say you were at work with me.
Did you ever consider a career as a ship's captain?
Briefly, I did. In fact, I wanted to go to Kings Point, which is a maritime academy in the Northeast. You know, things just happen for a reason, and we all get sidetracked, and I got sidetracked. And I'm sure I let my dad down, because he was, like, my dad's fifth-generation pilot, and I'm doing radio. You know, I'd be making a hell of a lot more being a river pilot, you know, but we all do our own thing in life, so.
So you've done the show almost 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
What has been one of your most memorable interviews or moments during your travels, or maybe both?
Probably, if I was to do a memorable interview, it would probably be something along the lines of, it's kind of geeky, but I'm a big country fan. I got to talk to Martina McBride on Royal Caribbean's Voyager of the Seas back in November of 2011. And we just kind of chatted about cruising. She's never been on a cruise. That was her first time on a ship. Then that next April of 2012, she came to the St. Augustine Amphitheater, and she was like, I remember you. And we were talking again. We were backstage, and she's like, I was like, yeah. I'm like, have you cruised yet? She's like, no, not yet. Blah, blah, blah. But it was kind of like one of those things where it was like, wow, out of the thousands of people she's met in her 20-year career, she remembered talking to me a few months earlier, where, again, that was a meet-and-greet opportunity. So there were so many people there, you know? It was just really cool.
Now, with all your travels, do you have a favorite destination?
Excuse me.
Like a port, you know, is there a certain port that you say, you know what, that, because I mean, a lot of times you're cruising the same spot, I'm sure, the different places. Is there one place that you really, really enjoy in the whole world?
I really enjoy Northern Europe. I haven't been to the fjords of Norway and all that, but like Amsterdam was really cool. And not just because it was really, really fun going there with the coffee houses and all that. I'm talking like, it was just really cool with the rivers. Like, you get to see, you're going down the Danube, and you know, there's castles some places. So it's just really, the CEO of Viking said, I might screw this up, so I'm paraphrasing, but he said, ocean cruises is a drinking man's cruise. River cruises are a thinking man's cruise. And it's so true, because you're sitting there just pondering life on the bow of a river cruise. And I think that was cool. As far as like the Mediterranean, big fan of Venice, big fan of Barcelona. If we take it more back home, God, they're, everything just has a unique personality. Aruba, Carousel, even Grand Turk. You know, it's just an old salt mine place, but it has so much personality. Every place has a personality, and I feel it's so cliche saying that, because every ship captain I interview, I'm giving their answer right now. But it's like that. Once you've traveled so much, it's hard to pick, because it's like we're blessed to do this, and we're blessed to travel over 100,000 miles a year and see all these cool things. So Netherlands, Amsterdam still tops the list, though.
So, you know, you mentioned Venice. Was the food and ambiance there is everything people say it is?
Yeah, so my friend Matt and I, we were eating at an Italian restaurant, again, cliche, on one of the canals at Venice, and the people were in the gondolas going by singing and stuff, and, you know, it was like messing with Matt, like holding his hands, like, oh, this is so romantic, blah, 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 but it was just cool. Like, you know, you see these in textbooks growing up, you learn about the gondolas, or even, like, you know, seeing in Pisa, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and you get to see all this stuff firsthand, and it really brings things, again, full circle for you.
Okay. Now, the next part of that question would be excursions. There was an excursion you did in a port that just topped all of them.
I did a private excursion in Maja, Spain. I could be pronouncing it wrong. I think it's M-A-J-A. I did a private excursion last year, and it was right there to the takes you to the Rock of Gibraltar, where you could actually see the rock. And it was really cool. That was probably, because, you know, you read about it in the Bible and all of that. So that was really cool. Taking it back home to the Caribbean, I would probably say something like, as geeky as it sounds, like Stingray City, because you just get to be with all these prehistoric fish, you know, these stingrays and all this, and they come up to you like little puppy dogs. I just think that was really cool. In Alaska, like flight seeing in Alaska, just amazing. Again, I could just rattle all these places off because I don't have a favorite, because I'm just blessed to do everything and go see these places.
Okay, now bringing it back home also, here we are in Carnival Sunshine. She has all of the Funship 2.0 enhancements, sailing out of Port Canaveral. This was her first voyage. What are your overall impressions of Carnival Sunshine? I guess, and you've got a little bit of background.
Yeah, a little bit. This is my 27th night on Sunshine, because I sailed this ship when it first came out in the Med. I did the 16-night transatlantic from Barcelona to New Orleans. I did an overnight pier side, and now here we are on a two-nighter. So
you are the expert.
I know my way around Carnival Sunshine. Let's just say that.
But I can say, everybody, he gave me a tour of the ship yesterday. He was like, we're walking, we're going up, we're going down. You know,
it was funny because I keep joking because my doctor's on board, and because I'm in a mental state where I have to travel with a doctor. Not really, but my doctor's on board, so I gave him a tour as well. So the big joke is I'm giving hourly tours of the ship if you want to, you know, come with me. But I love the ship. I think that I sailed the ship in 1999 as Carnival Destiny on a 7-night Western Caribbean cruise to Jamaica, Grand Cayman, Cozumel, all that stuff, and I loved it then. When I sailed this ship in 1999, I found a quarter in the Royal Promenade, or whatever it's called, and I picked the quarter up, went to a slot machine, dropped it in, hit spin, and I won $275.
Wow.
This ship, I like it. It's very, when I interviewed you earlier, we were talking about this, about it being such like a Caribbean resort. Like, we're sitting in a stateroom right now, and this is not like a cruise ship stateroom to me. I kind of feel like we're, you know, Bayside at Tampa Bay Marriott, where it's the colors are very cool, Caribbean, plenty of space, plenty of storage space. And even the main areas of this ship are not like a cruise ship. Like, if you're going down the promenade on deck 5, everything is so, it's airy. You're not, you know, cruise ships normally have, you walk down a passage, there's a room here, 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 all the way down. Everything's open here, which I really can appreciate because I like the airiness of it. If you didn't tell me we were on a ship, I would have never known. In fact, story, I was talking to one of the other journalists that were on the ship, and she was like, my daughter just asked me, when are we getting on the ship? Because she did not know we were on a ship. This was yesterday. We were still at the dock. Wow. But she just thought, because it doesn't feel like a ship. It feels more like a contemporary beachside resort. So yeah, I had the same feelings as the daughter and probably a lot of other Carnival Sunshine people.
Yeah, and I was telling you, you'd asked me earlier, I said, this the space. You know, I remember it was a big deal to have no walls from one side of the ship to the other side of the ship, and mm-hmm. You know, they first started doing that. And the casino, you stand in the middle of the casino, and it's literally open, no walls from end to end. Mm-hmm. So the space that you get on board these, you know, the ships are big enough, but when you actually can feel the space in the rooms, it's amazing.
And it's cool because, like, on the casino, it has the EA Sports Bar, where if you're not a gaming geek, EA Sports is, you know, the football, the basketball, the soccer, all these games are in this one bar, and as long as also a sports bar with a 24-hour ticker across the roof that if you want to know, you know, if the Tampa Bay Rays won or whatever, you're going to see it in live time because it's linked up to a satellite back wherever the satellite is linked back to.
Do you have any advice or tips for someone sailing on Carnival Sunshine? I know you talked about EA Sports just now.
Yeah, so I have a couple. If you're a quiet person or you're, you know, every cruiser has their own personality. We're all not in our 20s still. We want to be out there getting blitzed on the Lido deck. If you want a quiet place for sail away, consider the forward, very, very forward part of the ship. I think it's like deck 7 or 8 or maybe even 9. But if you walk very forward, it's an open air. It's 2 or 3 levels. I remember when I took this ship from Barcelona to New Orleans, and I sat out there for hours because we were sailing up coming close to the Mississippi River, and we were sailing, you know, maybe 300 yards away from oil platforms. And I just got amazing photos just sitting there, and it was like me, my friend Steve, and I would say maybe a dozen other people out of a sold-out sailing. So consider the front of the ship. Also, deck four has some nice little nooks and crannies that's where you typically go for your lifeboat drill. There's loungers out there and good little reading places as well. A little secret I learned about Gigi's Asian Kitchen, which I know you went last night, and I've been there many a times, is if they're sold out, which they normally are sold out for Carnival Sunshine, you can get it to go. You could pick what you want and eat it on your balcony or in your stateroom. So you don't have to actually be there. You can say, hey, okay, it's sold out. I want this, this, this. It's $12, and it's the best $12 meal you'll ever have. And one more thing I have is on the steakhouse on the ship. If you're going to go to the steakhouse, it's like $35. It's flipping amazing. But go the very first night. And the reason why I say that is everybody is so tired from traveling, so no one's ever there, and they also give you a free bottle of wine. So it's like you pay for a couple, would be paying like $70 or something, plus you get a free bottle of wine. So it's like $100 value for $70.
Do you have like a favorite spot if you had to pick one?
Probably the Alchemy Bar. It used to be the old wine bar aft, deck five, and it's just really chill. The bartenders are cool there. On my transatlantic cruise, which was 16 days, 10 of those were sea days, I spent a lot of time there. Not even drinking, but just the whole Ocean Plaza Alchemy area is so open where you could just work all day or read or whatever you want to do. If I had another one, I am a fan, if I have my drinking hat on, my party hat, I would say Red Frog Pub, Deck 5, because it's, and we were there yesterday getting 101-ounce tower of beer, I guess you would call it, for $27, but it's just chill, you know? They play country, rock, you know, it's just a very chilled atmosphere.
Yeah, there's a lot of music there.
There is, yeah. And actually, live music at night, there's an acoustic guitar player, which I love live acoustic music.
And the Alchemy Bar's got a band right out there, mm-hmm. and then, of course, there's music in the Red Frog Pub, like you're saying.
Yeah, and don't book a room on deck six above that Ocean Plaza or the Red Frog, because you'll be sorry you did, trust me.
Doug, thank you so much for taking the time. It's been a pleasure sailing with you here on Carnival Sunshine.
Well, I want to say thank you, dude, because I come in here and it's like a green room. I feel like I'm going on the Tonight Show or something because you have drinks poured and just really chill here. So thanks for having me, and hope I didn't ramble too much for you.
No, it's been very informative. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Rock on, man. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this special Carnival Sunshine edition of the Cruise Addicts Talk Show. I want to thank Carnival Cruise Lines and all of my guests for making this possible. Be sure to visit my website, Cruise Addicts, at www.cruise-addicts.com. Until next time, be safe and happy cruising.